My roses. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with meditation. My roses. I do not have any rose plants around my home. That would be lovely to do so, but I don't have any rose plants. I have many other flowers, many other beautiful flowers, but my beloveds bring me roses from time to time. Ellen loves to pick a small bouquet of roses and bring them over for me. She'll bring maybe one or two, maybe three roses and put them in a vase and put them on my table where I sit and where I do my reading and relaxing. And the other day, Ellen brought a couple of beautiful roses. They were from her garden outside of her bedroom window. And she looks at them every morning and she sees them so beautiful. And she says, I must share these with Herb. And so she clipped off these roses and brought them over and put them in the vase there so that I could truly enjoy them. And then it was so beautiful, they're sitting there, and they've been there now for, number of days. And as I look at them now, I see them as relaxed roses. Roses who have said, hey, I'm about ready to say goodbye to you and let new roses come and take my place. I'm about ready to fade away and go off. And yet, one of the roses has a bud on it, and the bud is saying, I haven't opened yet, and I may well open if you give me a chance. And the other rose said, I'm ready to take my nap. And it bows its head, hey, but it's got a couple little buds on it too that haven't opened up yet. And just because the bigger bud has already opened and is dropping its petals, that doesn't mean that the little bud in there is not going to come out. Ah, yes. And I just dusted the rose a little bit with my fingertips, and the petals of the rose that had finished its beautiful expression faded away and fell to the ground. And the new buds are sticking their nose out saying, maybe we'll open, maybe we won't. And you just love us and bless us, and we will. So now, I will meditate upon these roses, and I will watch and see how they reveal themselves. But they're always beautiful. They're always lovely. They're always just gorgeous to see. No matter what stage of development or attitude they may be, they're always lovely. My meditation is always on beautiful things. My meditation is always on life, always on something dynamic, something that is a moving, living, beautiful experience. I sometimes feel a little wistful about saying my roses and that Ellen brought them, or it may have been some roses that Sylvia brought, or it may have been some roses that Ingeborg brought, because everybody likes to see me having roses on my table next to where I sit. Everybody likes to see me having beautiful things. It's just a glorious, wonderful expression, and it's a glorious, wonderful thing to think about. Well, I meditate on that. And as I meditate upon that, new things appear all the time. I walk out onto my patio, and I think to myself, my goodness, it's so clean all the time. And I don't realize that Ellen has come by that morning while I was on my walk around the meditation path and swept my patio. It took her about 3 or 4 minutes to sweep it as she was on her way up to the house for breakfast, but she stopped by and just swept it off to make it look beautiful for me, because she thinks everything I do is beautiful. She thinks everything that I have is beautiful. She thinks all of my clothing are beautiful. She thinks all of the things in my house are beautiful and all the things in my world. And she always is doing things to make it reflect that. Well, now for Ellen to do that, it takes her 2 or 3 minutes now and then, and she reaches into my clothes hamper and takes out my dirty clothes and throws them in her washing machine and brings them back. And it's just in a moment, but it's because in her mind, she's always seeing everything beautiful, seeing everything glorious, seeing everything. That's her meditation. Her meditation is to see her world all in divine order. And sometimes it's putting it in divine order herself. But you see, Ellen is creating something very special with me with her meditation. In her meditation, she stops by and sweeps my patio. Well, because she does this now and then, I too, every time I notice any of the apples off of my manzanita tree that are rolling down on the patio, I take the broom and gently sweep them away, and in 2 seconds it's done because there's not that many. But it makes it all so beautiful as Ellen sees my patio. And as Ellen sees everything in my world, she sees it all in A1 shape. She sees the very best of everything for me. She is always seeing me fantastic and glorious. That's how Ellen meditates on me. And maybe, and there's no maybe about it, that's how I think about Ellen. I think about her having every glorious thing. And no matter what it is, if there's something beautiful that can be done in Ellen's world by me, I'm doing it. I oftentimes walk into her house when she's not there, and I straighten out a few little things here and there to my pleasure. Or I fix a broken cord, or I do a thing that may have been waiting for to be done by her. And I just sense that it's there, and I go and do it. This happens quite often, because whenever I go to her house for anything, whatever little things are on her heart to be done, they just sort of stand out and jump out and say, "Here, Herb, do this, do this, do this." And it's so easy for me to do because I tune into it. And when I walk over into the Citadel where Sylvia lives, I walk into her house and I see a few little things here and there in disarray, and I straighten them up and organize them and pattern them. Now, perhaps she would have done that herself as she would come back from wherever she was. But you get in the habit of seeing things in a certain way, and you don't think of changing it. And when I change it, then she lives in that newness of attitude. And I walk into Ingeborg's office and in her rooms, and as I walk in there, I see a few things needing a little. And I reach down and pat the bed and square away the cover for it, and rearrange a few pillows on the couch and things like that that she is so accustomed to seeing because she sits down and has them where she wants them. And I put them where I think they look good. But you say, what has this got to do with meditation? Well, my meditation is always that I am a flowing, harmonious being. And I'm always doing things to make things look beautiful on our campus and in our world. I reach down and pick up the weeds as I walk along that are growing in the path. Or I pick up stones that are on the path and I put them to the side or to the side of the road. No big deal. But as I do this day after day, and joyfully, joyfully, then pretty soon the path becomes the most clear, beautiful path in the world. And the weeds are no longer on the path. They're no longer making themselves in my consciousness. And as I walk wherever I do, I just add a little bit of me to wherever I am. And as I do this, I create a world of doing this. And I create Ellen. Wherever she goes, she just wants to put everything in order. Not because it's out of order, but because she has an order that she sees it in, and she sees that that would be for her a pleasant thing. That's her meditation. And when Sylvia walks around, she's always doing lovely things. She's always making things a little bit more perfect and taking her dust cloth and dusting or doing whatever things, simple little things and big things, and planting trees and flowers and doing all the things that make her life happy and fulfilled. And Ingeborg, too, as she walks along the path, she likes to take a bag along or take a little wagon along so that she can pick up all of the branches and bring them back to the house and use them to light the fire. She's always straightening things up, putting things in certain order. She has the outside world as her domain, and she delights in it and delights in putting everything into order. My world is a world of order. My meditation is upon order. And as I meditate upon order, then everything in my world is that order that I meditate upon. For whatever things I think about, those are the things that take place in my world. And I live in a world of harmonious meditation. I live in a world of heaven. I live in a world of peace and harmony. Everywhere I look, I see divine order. Everywhere I look, I see harmony and peace. Everywhere I look, I see all is good and very good. I see the world in harmony now. I see the world harmonious and doing all things joyous. I see our president doing an exquisite job, that though people may not always understand him or may not always agree with him, they cannot find fault with the magnificence of the man that he is and the attempt that he is doing everything that in his mind is to the benefit of our country. What a wonderful man. What a wonderful family that he takes with him and shows off to the world. We are all like this. We're in heaven, and I assure you, our president's in heaven, and so are lots of other people who are working harmoniously to bring about peace on earth, which is already there, to bring about and have it be realized, harmony and joy everywhere. And it all starts in our heart, in my heart. I'm in heaven. Every time I think of thoughts that turn me on, I'm in heaven. Join me in heaven and have a wonderful time. And look at the roses on my table and see how glorious and beautiful they are. I love you. I love you. I love you.